More now on the meningitis outbreak. As you know, more than 200 people have become ill and 15 have died from the fungal meningitis outbreak linked to steroid injections from the New England Compounding Center. And now the FDA is warning that other drugs produced at the center in Framingham could also cause infections. The outbreak has raised questions about the little-known sector of compounding pharmacies, which take medications and personalize them for individual patients. For a look at the industry's regulations and oversight, we spoke with a former member of the State Board of Pharmacy, Bill Gouveia, who currently teaches at the Northeastern University School of Pharmacy.
We know how to do this job very well, namely to prepare the proper drug in a proper way, in a sterile manner. We know how to do that. And the pharmacy literature goes back 20, 30 years. The problem is we haven't taken that knowledge and said to the consumer, this is what you should look for when you look at a pharmacy, and to the state regulators to say, this is what you should adopt in terms of the standard of quality.
But if a compounding pharmacy is licensed to operate in Massachusetts, yeah, why wouldn't the consumer just assume that it's complying with all the regulations, that it is a sterile and safe place, that it's producing safe drugs?
I think the consumer needs to be vigilant, much as they were with medication errors and prescription misfills. They now are more aware that they should understand the drug and how it's used and who dispensed it and who made it.
The Federal Food and Drug Administration says there needs to be clear regulations, that this industry basically grew beyond what they can currently regulate. Do you agree with that?
Yes. There's disclarity about what is within the state's purview and what's in the federal purview. If you're compounding in Massachusetts alone, then your regulatory authority is the Board of Pharmacy. Once those drugs go out of Massachusetts, then the FDA is responsible for that evaluation. And I'm not sure they have the resources to do this properly.
What about the state? Does the state have the resources?
No, they really don't. And really, they can only respond to specific complaints. So their response is really knee-jerk to what's out there in the field. But they don't have any systematic way. They don't have enough resources to really look at these sterile product operations.
Are the state and the federal governments, the regulators, placing too much trust on these businesses to regulate themselves?
Oh, I think that's the case. You know, this operation just ran amok for years, dispensing thousands of prescriptions, and no one really came in to say, you know, what are the safety requirements, what are the accreditation requirements that you're meeting.
Well, that being the case, shouldn't there then be someone overseeing this actively, and who should that be?
It probably should be the Board of Pharmacy. Should look at the...
On the state level.
On the state level. And the FDA and the federal level. But, Bob, we still don't know what went on in Framingham. And I think until we do a detailed analysis and really understand that these are the factors which cause the problem, we need to regulate around those problem areas. But we still don't know what went on. There needs to be presence, and there needs to be the state authority which says to the pharmacist, you know, how are you meeting the high-quality standards that we need?
What do you think should be done about this?
I think we need to look at the resources required from the Board of Pharmacy, number one, look at their regulations, number two, and number three, establish a clear commitment on the Commonwealth of being sure our patients are protected from these shoddy operators.
So does that mean that the State Board of Pharmacy needs to get bigger and in some ways bolder in terms of how it approaches these companies?
Absolutely. Clearly, problems are addressed best before they occur. And so if you look at the regulations which are available, their application and the evaluation on the part of individual pharmacies by the board, it's just not there.
So it's likely that they would not have found the fungal contamination of these injectable steroids before they were distributed anyway.
Without spending an awful lot of time in them. You know, to some degree, Bob, it should be a case in which the board goes unannounced into pharmacies to say, show me your regulations, show me your training, show me your facilities. They don't have the time and effort to do that.
You think the political will exists up on Beacon Hill to update state regulations and make them tougher and put some more money into the State Board of Pharmacy, at least in terms of the number of inspectors out there looking into these businesses?
I think so. The severity of what went on tells me that we really need to respond with all of our healthcare authority that we can bring to bear on this particular issue.
Bill Gouveia, thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure, Bob. Thanks very much for inviting me.
In response to what Bill Gouveia says, a spokeswoman for the State Department of Public Health says the agency investigated more than 300 complaints last year and reserves the right to inspect pharmacies at any time without notice. Bill Gouveia was a member of the State Board of Pharmacy from 2004 to 2010. Currently, he teaches at the Northeastern University School of Pharmacy.